verses 1 through 10. Like I said, it's a very, very familiar passage, right? Very familiar passage, a passage of Easter that we looked at last week. And what we have here for the background in verses 1 through 4 is that on the day in which the Lord rose, we see the ladies going to the tomb, and they are taking spices with them. And as the custom was, is they were going to continue to prepare the body. And as they get to the tomb, they find the stone is rolled away from the tomb. They're a little worried about it. They enter into the tomb and they find that the body of the Lord Jesus is no longer there. We know that he is risen. They don't know what's going on. And I want to focus, look with me on verse 4, because all of this seems to happen in verses 1 through 3. It gives a nice little detailed timeline. But then verse 4, the beginning of it, draws a little question for me. It says, and it came to pass. And it came to pass as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Now it says they were perplexed. They were confused. They didn't understand what was going on. We also know the two men standing before them are angels that come and give the message that Christ is risen. But the thing that I focus on here as I get ready to go into the message is, it says, and it came to pass. Now, why am I focusing on that a little bit? Because, folks, whenever you see, and it came to pass, it means some time had passed. It means they found the tomb, they saw the body was not there, and they stood there for a time period. This wasn't just, and the next thing. They were in that empty tomb for a while. Now, why? Well, again, the scripture says that they were perplexed. Maybe they thought Jesus was playing hide and seek with them. Maybe the worst fear that they had, that someone came and stole the body, had taken place. And maybe they thought, maybe they're going to come back for us next. Maybe they were searching in the tomb. Maybe they thought, maybe he's still in here. I don't know, but we know that they were perplexed, and we know that they were there for a period of time before the two angels showed up with a message. I submit to you this morning that they were looking for life. I submit to you this morning that while they were in that tomb for a while, they were looking for answers. And everything in their mind had been running through them as to what could have taken place. I want to talk to you this morning about finding life in the resurrection. I want to talk to you this morning about looking for life in the midst of Christ rising from the dead, searching like they were that morning. And there's three things I want to point out to you in the text this morning that hopefully I can draw a correlation to you with. The first thing I want you to notice is in verse 5. As they were standing in the tomb, the angels came. And the angels said in verse 5, and as they were afraid. Ladies and gentlemen, just so you know, when angels appear, there's fear. Can I tell you that right now? All these wonderful stories that you hear, oh, I saw an angel and it was so peaceful. Every single instance that you have of an angel appearing in the Bible, there is fear struck in the hearts of men and women. Just so you know. Chances are, if you think you've seen an angel and you got peace from it, chances are it ain't an angel, but it's something else. All right? There is a profound fear that is struck. They were afraid. It says they bowed down their faces to the earth, and they said unto them, and I love this right here, listen to me, why seek ye the living among the dead? First thing I want you to see this morning is the angel's rebuke. The angel's rebuke. And yes, it wasn't just an innocent question. It wasn't that the angels were asking them, hey, what are you doing? It was a rebuke. Why seek ye the living among the dead. Why did the angels rebuke them with that question? Because the angels were basically saying to them, you should know better right now. He's not here. You should know better. What do you mean we should know better? Jesus told you how many times he was going to be given up, he was going to be killed, and he would rise again from the grave. But how many times did they not believe him? How many times that when the actual events took place, that they find themselves in fear, they find themselves in hiding, and they say, why seek ye the living among the dead? You should know better. And can I tell you, I think sometimes the angels that are in heaven are still looking down on us and asking God the same question about humans. Why are they seeking the living among the dead? What do you mean, Pastor? Well, I think so many times we who have heard the gospel message, who know that Christ is risen from the grave, continue to seek for life in places that are dead. We continue to go into the tombs of this world thinking that we're going to find life. What do I mean by that? I mean meaning, I mean purpose, I mean hope, I mean identity. And we is this off? Is it me? I keep hearing okay, we'll try this again. Huh? How about now? We'll find out. Okay. Where was I? The same question is asked today. You know, ladies and gentlemen, there are so many times where we seek to find life in other places than Jesus. Listen to me. When Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, he is, as Scripture declares, your source of life. He is your source of hope. He is your source of identity. He is your source of truth. He is your source of meaning. And we have that, right? We somewhat know that. But yet we continue to go to the things of the world to find life. Why seek ye the living among the dead? We try to find our identity in our job. You ever notice that one of the first things anybody will ask you when you're meeting someone or you'll ask somebody else is, what do you do? What do you do? A lot of times we have our identity in what we do, right? We try to find life. Hence why some of us work ourselves to death, right? We try to find life in our jobs. We try to find life in any areas that'll give us pleasure. Some of us look to feel alive and look for meaning and purpose on social media. We go to the graveyard of social media. What tombstone you want to pick today? Facebook? Instagram? Snapchat? The TikTok? Right? And you post stuff, and you sit there, and you just wait to see how many likes do I get? How many hearts do I get? How many comments do I get? How many people comment and ask me because I made some kind of vague statement about something going on in my life, and who really cares enough about me to reach out to me on Facebook and comment on it? Folks, come on now. We try to find our life and our identity based on social media. Listen to me. Your life and your identity is based on Jesus Christ. Stop searching in dead places of the world. Some of us look for it in education. Some of us in our culture today look for our identity and the whole entire wrapped up life of ours in our sexuality. In fact, they call it pride. Last time I checked, you better be careful with the name pride when it comes to your sexuality. Why? Because Scripture says pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. I wouldn't want to be attached to anything that's got pride to it, especially when that pride is circumventing the Word of God. Folks, your identity isn't supposed to be. You want to hear something else? Some of us still get ourselves wrapped up in our identity for our sin. We carry around a burden. We carry around our own tombstone. Come on. Things from the past that we've done, mistakes that we've made, guilt that we have. We carry our own tombstone and we let that identify us. Can I tell you, if you're saved here this morning, you may have a memory of it, but Jesus said that your sin has been covered by the blood of the Lamb. Can I remind you this morning that your sin, past, present, and future, has been washed away. Your sin is now dismissed from the mind of God, and your identity is not in your sin, but your identity is now in the resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. That is something to be happy about this morning. You are no longer a sinner, amen, but you are a child of God who has a problem with sinning. Your identity changed. Let me ask you this morning, church, why seek ye the living among the dead? Why seek ye the living among the dead? So many times we try the things of the world, the tombstones of the world, and attach ourselves to them when the one thing that we should be seeking and looking for life in is Jesus Christ. In him and him alone. That's the first thing I want you to see this morning. The second thing I want you to see is the angel's reminder. The angel's reminder. Verse 6. They continue on after the rebuke and question and say, he is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day raise again. You know what I think the angels were saying there as they're going around? And they're looking for life inside the tomb, or they're perplexed, and they don't know necessarily what's going on. And the angels ask them the probing question of why do you seek the living among the dead? They now make the proclamation of what we know is the good news. Amen? They say, he is not here. He is risen. In other words, it's not a time for mourning. It's not a time for fear. It's not a time for you to second guess yourself. It's not a time for you to run away. It's not a time for you to shed a tear, but rather it's a time to celebrate. And sometimes, Christian, that's what we need to remember in the midst of things in our life, is that we need to celebrate the resurrection. Sometimes we need to remember that no matter how dark and gloomy it may be, no matter how bad our situation may get, no matter how things may not go our way, no matter how many times the devil seems to be coming against us, no matter how many times we trip and fall, if you're a believer, the resurrection is a fact. You're saved. You got Jesus in your heart. He reigns on the throne and he's coming back again. And last I checked, the enemy has absolutely no say of the outcome. You could say he is risen. He is victorious. And as the word says, because he rose and he lives and breathes inside of you, you too will have victory. Sometimes you just need a reminder. Sometimes you need a reminder when things aren't clear. Sometimes you need a reminder when things are perplexing. Sometimes you need a reminder when you're confused. Sometimes you need a reminder when things don't look as you thought they would. You need to remember that Christ is risen and that death and hell and the grave have been defeated. It's taken care of. In fact, he's reminding them. He's reminding them, the Son of Man, he told this to you. He told this to you. You know, that's why I think it was a rebuking question. He told you this, right? He said, I love how the angels, in order to prove their point, point back to Jesus' words. He's already given it to you. Let me remind you of Jesus' words. You know, like when he was walking with them in Luke chapter 11, and he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Come on now. He already told you in him is the power of resurrection. Or when he said the Son of Man will lay down his body and then bring it up again. He already told you. Aren't you glad you got a God who's willing to tell you exactly how it is and what he's going to do? Come on now. Aren't you glad that you have a God that won't leave you wondering, that won't leave you questioning, that won't leave you having to search and search and search and search for what he wants for you, but rather he's laid it out in his words. He said, basically, the angels are, return to the book. You're looking for life? Cling to the words of the resurrected Savior. Looking for life. There's an old hymn called Wonderful Words of Life. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Wonderful words of life. Beautiful words. Wonderful words. Wonderful words of life. You can trust his words. He's reminding them, look, if he told you he's going to do something, you can take it to the bank. He's going to do it. And ladies and gentlemen, when you're looking for life, when you're clinging to things that you shouldn't be clinging in, and you finally turn away, and you finally cling and put your identity and everything of you, your hope, your purpose, your meaning in Jesus Christ, you know what you can do? You can cling to his promises that are faithful and true. You can cling to the wonderful words of life. Last but not least, look with me at verses 8 through 10. We see the angel's rebuke. You're looking for life in the wrong place. We see the angel's reminder. You need to look for life in the words of God. And I love this. Love this. Verses 8 through 10, it says, and they remembered his words. They remembered his words. Isn't it interesting? They were reminded of the words of God. Words that they had already heard before. But it's a whole other thing for them to now believe them. I think that's what took part there. It says, and they remembered his words. They heard them. It was regurgitated to them. But now they're believing it. It's like when your spouse is on the other side of the house and they yell, honey, this never happens at the parsonage, honey, can you do such and such? No answer. Honey, gets a little closer, can you do such and such? And your mind is focused on something else. And you finally hear what they're saying, but you just, yeah, okay, 10 minutes goes by, and the spouse, now I'm not putting a gender on the spouses here, because this could happen both directions, right? It can happen with the male, and it can happen with the female. It can happen with the wife, it can happen with the husband. Amen? Come on now. Comes around the corner, and you're still doing the same thing. They say, didn't you hear me? What are you doing? Well, I heard you, but you're not doing it. Oh. You know what the problem is a lot of times? We hear people, but we don't listen. We hear them, but we don't listen. Listening involves taking on what it is that they're communicating. Hearing them means I'm giving you knowledge that I heard something, right? That's what's happening here. I love it. It says in verse 8, and they remembered his word. It's like it finally clicked in their head. Oh my goodness. What he told us before. We heard him, but we didn't believe him. What the angels now reveal to us, we heard it, and now we can see it. And oh my goodness, aren't you, can I backtrack a second? The angels, aren't you glad that God gives you reminders? Aren't you glad as a Christian, the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you will continue to prompt you along life's way and will give you reminders, thing that you think, come on, let's be honest, this is why it's so important to read your Bible, to be in the Word of God. Because when you read that Bible, you could read a chapter and you'd be like, I have no idea what that says. I have no idea what this means. But you know what the scriptures say about itself? It says that the word of God will not return void. In other words, that word is getting into you whether you perceive it or not. And aren't you glad you come into situations or you come into areas and you don't know what to do and you're perplexed and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit reminds you of scripture that you didn't understand just a little bit ago, but now you understand it and you've got direction. Aren't you glad that when you're down and out and you get into the Word of God, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will bring to reminder some promises. He'll bring to reminder some things that I'm with you. He'll bring to reminder of some things that you needed to know and needed to hear to get you through. Aren't you glad for the reminder that continues to remind you in Jesus Christ that you are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, no matter what you see around you? But the reminders are there. Question is, are you just hearing it? Are you just reading it? Or do you actually believe it? Because if you're looking for life, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just going to be by being reminded of the word, but you got to believe the word. You got to believe the word. They realized it. It says, remember, and they remembered his words. You know, I read one commentary that talked about how this must have been the realization moment for the women. Which, by the way, let me go down another side trail real quick. Don't ever let anybody ever tell you that the Bible and Christianity is chauvinistic. One of the greatest proofs that it isn't is the simple fact that Jesus chose to reveal him resurrected to women and not men. To women. Right? That's pretty important. Some say when you get in deep theology, it counteracts the fact that women took of the fruit in Genesis, and this counteracts and is the redemptive moment because they went and told of the resurrection. Don't you love how God works? Don't you love how God redeems and God moves? Praise God, amen? Because you know what's interesting? You go a little farther in the text today. We didn't get past verse 10, but it says the women went back and told the men, and the men didn't believe them. The men didn't, and only one decided to go out and find out for themselves. But the men didn't believe them. There's a reason God chose to reveal the resurrection of his son to women. I don't know exactly why, but that's something I hope we find out in glory. Praise God. Amen? Amen. Now listen. This was kind of that realization moment. Because maybe, just maybe, Jesus had told them numerous times, the Son of Man's going to be given up, he's going to die, and he's going to raise again. How many times did they hear that, and how many times did they possibly think, well, we hear it, but he's probably just speaking symbolically. Well, we hear it, but maybe it's not exactly what he's saying. And there's other meanings behind it. That they didn't take his literal word to heart. And now they realize, I need to take his literal word to heart. Why am I telling you that this morning, folks? Because all too often we take the Bible and we try to twist it around and we try to symbolize and allegorize and spiritualize things to fit our own twisted worldview or rationalize our own sin and viewpoints when what we need to do is take what it says to be truth. That God says what he means and means what he said. Now, don't get me wrong. There are obvious parts of Scripture that are symbolism. And you can tell. But folks, there are so many things today in the church that have infiltrated the church that are plain as day, laid out as commandments, and we like to just, it's symbolic, or it's contextual, or it's cultural, or it's, no, guess what? Don't get caught in a place where one day you're standing there and you remember all these things, and what's happening in front of you is actually what the Word of God said. By the way, crack open the book of Revelation sometime, and as the world continues to go down the timeline that it's going in our world and in our culture, you can see the shadows of the end times coming more and more and more and more, and to say it's all symbolic and Revelation will not happen exactly as, folks, you better watch out. You're going to get caught by surprise. The women's response. You want to find life? Remember the words. Remember his words. Take his words to heart. Verse 9, and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. When they found the life that they were looking for, when they believed in the living words of the resurrected Savior, listen to me, they left the graveyard. Folks, when you have found resurrected life, when you have found meaning in Jesus Christ, there should be an unction and a function inside of you where you cannot remain among the dead, but you gotta come out of the graveyard and follow and look for Jesus. They left the sepulcher. They went forward, and not only that, but they began to witness. They began to witness. They went back and they told the other apostles. Now, they didn't believe them, but hey, listen to me. You're not commanded as a Christian to convince the world of the resurrection. You're commanded as a Christian to go and tell the good news, whether they believe it or not. Whether they believe it or not. And it says they went out and they told. Because listen to me, when you find life in Jesus Christ, listen to me, I hope that this is the case for your life, you want to tell everyone the life that you have. You want to tell everybody about the Savior. You want to tell everyone about the hope. You want to tell everybody about the saving grace. You want to tell everybody about that forgiveness. You want to share the good news when you believe it, when you have it. That's why one person said, the gospel is like one beggar telling the other beggar where he found the bread. The gospel is like one beggar telling another beggar where they found the bread. If you've got good news, if you've got new life, and you've been searching for it, and you couldn't find it, and you went through self-help books, and you went through Joel Osteen, and you went through Oprah, and you went through this, and you went through that, and you went through this religion and this belief system, and nothing could ever fill you. You went to the internet. You went through addiction. You went through the bottle. You went through pills. You went through porn, whatever it may be, and you find it in Jesus, and he sets you free and gets you out of the grave. Listen to me. I hope you have a need to go and tell somebody else. He set me free. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. For glory to God, he set me free. Will you bow your heads in prayer with me this morning? Father, we do give you thanks and praise for your word today. Lord, we thank you that the resurrection isn't just one Sunday that we celebrate, but Lord, we are resurrection people. And Lord, we thank you that you call us out of the tomb. We thank you that you give us life and you give it to us more abundantly in your Son. And we thank you that it's found in Jesus and not dependent upon us. Father, I cry out to you this morning because you know the hearts of your people here. You know if they're in the graveyards of life. Maybe right now they're hearing those angels speaking to them. Why do you seek the living among the dead? Why are you looking for life in the tombstones of this world? They might give you happiness. They might give you short-term joy. But ultimately, if it's not attached to Jesus, it dies. Listen to me, Christian, you are not of this world. You should not be in the graveyards and attached to the things of this world. But your identity, your hope, your purpose is all in Jesus. Nothing can change that. Can I encourage you today to cling to him? Cling to him. Cling to his words. and believe his word. Maybe you're here this morning and you're looking for life. Maybe you're saying, Pastor Jeff, I'm in a dead spot. Or Pastor Jeff, I am a dead spot. Scripture says that you're dead in your sin and your trespasses if you don't know who Jesus is. Scripture says that you're lost and bound for hell, a sinner's hell, to pay for your sin. But Jesus Christ came to this world and lived a sinless life and died on the cross for your sin, paid your debt with his death, and then rose up from the grave, securing not just his victory, but your victory. And by putting your faith and trust in him, he did something that you could never do. Pay your debt. Pay your sin debt. And the only thing that's going to resurrect you to new life, the only thing that's going to take you out of death and into life, is through your faith in Jesus Christ. Because Scripture tells us that the moment that you put your faith and trust in him, that your eyes have been opened, that you cry out to him, that Jesus is Lord and that he was raised from the dead, it says you will be saved. It says the Holy Spirit comes and whatever dead mortal body that you have, it regenerates you. The old is gone, the new has come. Ain't gonna find it in anything else. You can go to all the different tombstones that this world has looking for life, but you'll never find it unless it's in Jesus, the one who walked out of the tomb, the one who's alive forevermore. Father, I pray that if there be one here this morning that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that feels helpless and hopeless and perplexed in this life right now, Father, that today would be the day in which they cry out to you. Today would be the day in which they find life and life more abundantly in you. It's what they were made for. Sin separates them, but they were made to have a relationship with you. They were made to be whole with you. So, Lord, I pray that they would cry out to you, and whether it be in this last song or whether it be after the service, Father, that they, if they want to be saved, Lord, they would seek myself out, they would seek a leader out, they would seek somebody out so that they can find life. And Lord, I pray for Christians that are here today that oftentimes we can get off track and maybe we just need that reminder. Our identity isn't in our accomplishments. Our identity is not in our work. Our identity is not in our job. Our identity is not in all these things that the world tries to pin on us as success or failures. But maybe today we need to remember, there are those who need to be reminded that our identity, our life, our hope, our purpose is in the resurrected Savior of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray your Holy Spirit would move amongst us as we get ready to sing our final song today, and that you would be glorified in the name of He, the name above all names, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand to our feet and sing our final song this morning.